do anything. Luckily for us, one did. A group of tool users, which seemed to arise from out of nowhere and overlapped with a shadowy and much disputed Homo habilis. This is Homo erectus, the species discovered by Eugène Dubois in Java in 1891. Depending on which sources you consult, it existed from about 1.8 million years ago to possibly as recently as 20,000 or so years ago. According to the Java Man authors, Homo erectus is the dividing line. Everything that came before him was ape-like in character. Everything that came after was human-like. Homo erectus was the first to hunt, the first to use fire, the first to fashion complex tools, the first to leave evidence of campsites, the first to look after the weak and frail. Compared with all that had gone before, Homo erectus was extremely human in form as well as behavior, its members long-limbed and lean, and very strong, much stronger than modern humans, and with the drive and intelligence to spread successfully over huge areas. To other hominids, Homo erectus must have seemed terrifyingly powerful, fleet, and gifted. Erectus was the velociraptor of its day, according to Alan Walker of Penn State University and one of the world's leading authorities. If you were to look one in the eyes, it might appear superficially to be human, but you wouldn't connect. You'd be prey. According to Walker, it had the body of an adult human but the brain of a baby. Although Erectus had been known about for almost a century, it was known only from scattered fragments, not enough to come even close to making one full skeleton. So it wasn't until an extraordinary discovery in Africa in the 1980s that its importance, or at the very least possible importance, as a precursor species for modern humans was fully appreciated. The remote valley of Lake Turkana, formerly Lake Rudolph in Kenya, is now one of the world's most productive sites for early human remains, but for a very long time no one had thought to look there. It was only because Richard Leakey was on a flight that was diverted over the valley that he realized it might be more promising than had been thought. A team was dispatched to investigate, but at first found nothing. Then late one afternoon, Kamoyo Kimeu, Leakey's most renowned fossil hunter, found a small piece of hominid brow on a hill well away from the lake. Such a sight was unlikely to yield much, but they dug anyway out of respect for Kimeo's instincts, and to their astonishment found a nearly complete Homo erectus skeleton. It was from a boy aged between about 9 and 12 who had died 1.54 million years ago. The skeleton had an entirely modern body structure, says Tattersall, in a way that was without precedent. The Turkana boy was very emphatically one of us. Also found at Lake Turkana by Kmeo was KNM-ER1808, a female 1.7 million years old, which gave scientists their first clue that Homo erectus was more interesting and complex than previously thought. The woman's bones were deformed and covered in coarse growths, the result of an agonizing condition called hypervitaminosis A, which can come only from eating the liver of a carnivore. This told us, first of all, that Homo erectus was eating meat. Even more surprising was that the amount of growth showed that she had lived weeks or even months with the disease. Someone had looked after her. It was the first sign of tenderness in hominid evolution. It was also discovered that Homo erectus skulls contained, or in the view of some possibly contained, a Broca's area, a region of the frontal lobe of the brain associated with speech. Chimps don't have such a feature. Alan Walker thinks the spinal canal didn't have the size and complexity to enable speech, that they probably would have communicated about as well as modern chimps. Others, notably Richard Leakey, are convinced they could speak. For a time, it appears, Homo erectus was the only hominid species on Earth. It was hugely adventurous and spread across the globe with what seems to have been breathtaking rapidity. The fossil evidence, if taken literally, suggests that some members of the species reached Java at about the same time as, or even slightly before, they left Africa. This has led some hopeful scientists to suggest that perhaps modern people arose not in Africa after all, but in Asia, which would be remarkable, not to say miraculous, as no possible precursor species have ever been found anywhere outside Africa. The Asian hominids would have had to appear, as it were, spontaneously. And anyway, an Asian beginning would merely reverse the problem of their spread. You would still have to explain how the Java people then got to Africa so quickly. There are several more plausible, alternative explanations for how Homo erectus managed to turn up in Asia so soon after its first appearance in Africa. First, a lot of plus or minusing goes into the dating of early human remains. If the actual age of the African bones is at the higher end of the range of estimates, or the Javan ones at the lower end, or both, then there is plenty of time for African erects to find their way to Asia. It is also entirely possible that older erectus bones await discovery in Africa. In addition, the Javan dates could be wrong altogether. Now for the doubts. Some authorities don't